Hi, I'm Blair Pleasant with UC Strategies, and I'm here in San Jose at Cisco's Seascape Analyst Conference, and I'm here with Rick McConnell, VP and GM of the UC Business Unit, and Roxanne Swanson, VP of UC Sales. And we're going to talk for a few minutes about Cisco and what it's doing in the wonderful world of unified communications. So let's get started. Basically, how does Cisco define unified communications?
Well, thanks, Blair. We would start with unified communications as beginning at the core of a converged network, offering voice, data, and video across that converged network. And outside that, we would add in various different layers associated with call control and call processing, including endpoints, tools to manage the environment, as well as the system software. On top of that layer, we tend to think about it as including application software, which could handle things like rich media conferencing, voice and unified messaging, contact center, and other capabilities that provide that value to end users. And then a series of clients that can provide access to this environment. So we think of unified communications as really the collection of end-to-end capabilities from the core of the network out to a layer to provide added value functionality to end users to enable a more productive environment.
Great. And what about mobility? Where does that play into this?
Well, mobility is particularly important in today's world. We obviously see from our customers escalating usage of mobility, mobile phones on a global basis. We even start to see things like 3G video to be incorporated into mobile environments. So we expect that mobility is going to increasingly become part of a fixed mobile world, a converged fixed mobile world. And we're investing accordingly at Cisco. We recently bought a company by the name of Orative. Orative essentially will enable us to provide a client that will run on essentially any mobile phone today that will integrate that particular end user experience into the Cisco Unified Communications experience in a seamless way. So for example, integrating your mobile phone into your LDAP directory at your organization, integrating call control, call logs, an ability to see visually your voicemails on your Unity system from Cisco, but on your mobile phone today. An ability to escalate a point-to-point call to a conference call on MeetingPlace directly from this client. So all of these components essentially bring the mobile world together with your corporate converged communication world.
So what we've been finding customers asking for is the ability to extend your office through your mobile and have the not just the capabilities, but the same look and feel, so that when no matter where you are, you've got the right kind of tools to continue your productivity, regardless of if you're at your desk or you're
and that's
driving
the user
in your
experience,
car.
Exactly. Regardless. Yep, terrific. So, how does Cisco's approach to unified communications differ from some of the other players out there?
I'd say the primary difference is our approach to having over time more and more of the services capabilities associated with unified communications just become a core part of your network. That essentially things like quality of service, our RSVP agents to ensure bandwidth is available, to ensure that there's a latency control and so forth associated with your calls, that those just become part of the network fabric that can then provide that and those sets of services and capabilities to a wide array of applications, whether it be your voice messaging application or your contact center application or your call processing application, that all of these capabilities become available. So it is really in managing this associated with our Sona architecture for the enterprise.
Can you tell people what Sona is?
Sure. It's our services-oriented network architecture. Basically has a few different components. Begins with a network layer at the bottom-most layer. Secondly, provides a series of services on top of that network, available to a wide variety of applications, and then third and finally, an application layer on top of that that takes advantage of that underlying core network as well as those services. So through Sona and this architecture, we can create a very efficient design and architecture for our customers that enables both us as well as third parties to create applications that can leverage the capabilities of the network and these various different services in a highly valuable environment to end users leveraging unified communications.
So where customers are actually seeing value in our solution is the way that we are taking a look at the architecture and how the layering of the applications coordinates with that. So there's the development around the products is very SONA oriented. The idea is to make sure that their integration points are all tight and seamless. And just a total understanding of really where we want to be from a UC perspective at the end of the day, and making sure that we've got all the piece parts that fit together to make that happen. So it is a true solutions oriented, you know, total solutions oriented look at unified communications.
Now, does Cisco approach unified communications as something that you as a single vendor can do on your own, or does it require partners? So can one vendor really provide everything that customers need for UC?
Well, it's a very good question. Several of our customers want an end-to-end solution completely from Cisco. And insofar as a customer does want a complete end-to-end solution, absolutely we will provide it. So we, of course, will provide the core of the network all the way throughout the layers that I described earlier, to include the various different applications and clients, whether it's a telephony user interface, a TUI, if you will, to access your communications environment, a GUI through a unified client to access that environment. We will provide that end-to-end capability. And many of our customers do, in fact, want that. But it's also important to note that many of our customers do have a desire to integrate other applications of a wide variety into their communications structure. And with our Unified Communications launch back at VoiceCon this year, back in March, we essentially enabled, through a SIP-based protocol and an open and extensible architecture, an ability for these third-party applications to integrate very deeply into the Cisco environment and leverage the core of that environment for those applications. So, for example, we have very deep integrations already into a Microsoft environment. You can imagine extensions and integrations into perhaps an SAP environment or an Oracle environment or a wide variety of other environments to facilitate this kind of interoperability of these applications. The net of it is that we are developing and have delivered an open system, and that open system is in fact designed to leverage all of the Cisco application capabilities, but clearly allow third-party applications to integrate into this environment for the value of our end-user customers.
So from a customer perspective, they rally around this approach. They like the idea of knowing that they can either go end-to-end, or if in fact there is a partnering situation, that we are building the integrations into some of these third-party applications. They like having that kind of flexibility and know that either Cisco is going to be there for them for end-to-end, or they will support a partnering model.
Okay. Now, Rick, you mentioned Microsoft. How does Cisco view Microsoft? Friend, foe, both?
I think the simplest way to answer that is there are clearly areas in which we will collaborate with Microsoft, and no pun intended, as well as areas in which we'll compete. The feedback, though, and what we are driven by is the feedback from customers that they want to see an interoperable solution. Many of our customers, in fact, have Microsoft running on the desktop. Many of our customers are looking at an LCS slash OCS, a live communication server or office communication server based solution from Microsoft that will integrate to Microsoft Office Communicator running in the desktop that's providing instant messaging capability to its end users. And in those kinds of environments, clearly we would expect to integrate into that Microsoft client world so that a Microsoft client could access all of the capabilities of a unified communications environment from Cisco, to include things like clicking within Office Communicator to launch a phone call, to escalate to a conference call, to replay your voice messages, to see your call log, set preferences in that kind of client environment. So clearly we will enable that capability. Another example of overlap would be in the area of web conferencing. Microsoft has a product in the form of Live Meeting. We have Meeting Place, and there is some degree of overlap there. Once again, we would expect to integrate Meeting Place voice and video conferencing with Live Meeting web conferencing to provide that kind of interoperability. So essentially, there are areas in which Microsoft has a unique product capability, such as Microsoft Office, and in that area, we will integrate deeply. In other areas where Microsoft doesn't have products and Cisco has products, we'll, of course, deliver the Cisco product portfolio. And then in the areas of overlap, we'll provide alternatives to the Microsoft product portfolio. But if you select Microsoft products, we will integrate deeply into those products to provide customer choice.
Great. Roxanne, can you tell us about Cisco customers who are actually using unified communications? Give us some examples of how they're using it and what benefits they're finding.
Sure. We've got a large installed base of customers that are using different forms of unified communications, whether it's Meeting Place that Rick was just talking about a moment ago, or if they're using our contact center solutions, our IVR solutions, and so on, our Unity unified messaging solutions. Some are using some of them, some are using all of them, but most of them are taking a look at what are the productivity gains that they're trying to achieve in order to really utilize some of these different solutions. We've had medical customers who've taken and extended the contact center out past just their contact center agents to try and get doctors on board and actually answer questions for customers from a medical perspective. So we've had quite an array of different applications that have been sold into the market. And as they sometimes customers will start with one application and then start to layer on some of the others. And because they do work, they're tightly integrated and work together, it just makes it easy for them to grow their unified communications environment really across their entire enterprise.
Do you have any examples of customers using the Cisco Presence server and Presence capabilities? Or is it still a little early for that?
It's still a little early to provide that. We're seeing early deployments of Presence as well as the Unified Client. One of the aspects of the Unified Client, our Unified Client, that many of our customers like, and one of the reasons they're selecting our Unified Client, is the fact that it's multi-platform. So by having a multi-platform client, they can run it on Macintoshes, they can run it on Windows PCs, and then deploy it in a more heterogeneous environment. But it's still relatively early in the release. We just launched the products this summer, so we're beginning to see some more deployments at scale that are just beginning.
Okay. Now, Roxanne, you alluded to talking about how customers are using some of these capabilities to really help optimize what they're doing and to improve their productivity. So as you know, we at Unified Communications Strategies, we define UC as communications integrated to optimize business processes. Can you talk about what Cisco is doing in terms of communication enabling or optimizing business processes?
Yes, what we're doing is we're actually taking a look at customers' business and trying to understand how exactly they want their own business roadmap, what they want that to look like for the next couple of years. And we're taking that and having a conversation with them about the steps that it's going to take in order to actually transform their business as opposed to doing things exactly the same. So let me give you an example. What typically can happen in just going from a TDM-based PBX to IP, true IP telephony, is you can a lot of times get yourself into a situation where you would be doing like for like. So if you had a location that had a PBX, you might just trade out dial tone for dial tone. And that's kind of like the simplest model. But what we're taking a look at is basically how do you want to change your business model? How do you want to actually deal with your customers? How do you want your employees to be able to get content, get to each other? Be able to actually run your business and then back in the solution from there. So it's two different approaches. It's one, okay, some vendors will go out there and they'll say, okay, you've got a PBX out there. What we want to talk to you about is replacing that. You've got a contact center. What we want to talk to you about is replacing that. Cisco's approach is to take a look at the business, not just the dial tone, not just the contact center, but how do they want to deal with their customers, their vendors, their partners, their employees, and say, okay, really, how do you want your business to run? How do you want to transform your business? And how do you back the technology in to support that?
Now, Cisco did something that I was really impressed with. You actually formed a business transformation group.
Yes.
Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yes, I mean, that essentially is what I was just talking about. It's really physically going out and talking to customers and understanding in depth what the customer's business goals and objectives are, where they want to take the business, what they want to do from a revenue perspective, how they want to deal with their customers, what kind of customer satisfaction levels do they want, how do they want their supply chain to run, and so on. And again, just back the technology in to support that as opposed to The reverse. Here's the technology. Now you try and figure out how to make it work and make your business work around it.
It is interesting from my point of view. Even as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, the discussion around, at that point, IP communications as opposed to unified communications was all about cost savings. And while it started as toll bypass and transport elimination, it did extend into things like centralized management of IP communications architectures and so forth, but it was still all about cost. Business transformation does a couple of things differently than we looked at it previously. The first thing it does differently is it is a dialogue much higher in many of the organizations than you might find at, let's say, the telecom or telephony level. It is about what are your business objectives and how might your communication strategy support those business objectives. It might be increasing revenue growth. It might be elimination of cost layers, but at a much broader level than just let's go reduce our long-distance telephony bill. And those kinds of discussions are, it may be about workplace or workflow automation. It may be about supply chain management, as you described, all these components. And so it really does change the dialogue to communications as a supporting strategy for a much broader set of strategies, which is more important at a higher level in the organization.
Great. Let's wrap up with, can you talk about what enterprise companies should be doing now to plan for their UC strategies and implementations in 2007?
Sure, I can start. Maybe Roxanne can finish. The first thing is that it's interesting that even as recently, once again, as a couple of years ago, the initial discussion we would have with many customers around IP communications was, well, why would I even consider IP communications? The solution that I have running over TDM is just fine. And it has been fully depreciated, and I don't really need to move to another solution. And that dialogue really has changed dramatically. It's fairly rare at this point that we get into that discussion. Part of it is because some of the legacy vendors in the space have largely moved their development efforts to IP as well. So whether you are moving to a Cisco solution or an alternative solution, you're really looking forward 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and you're having to decide that I'm going to deploy IP communications. So the starting point is that really all customers have to evaluate their communications needs and requirements as a starting point, determine how to integrate an IP communication solution into their existing environment, and then provide a rollout migration plan over time that works through a coexistence type strategy for a while with their legacy systems as well as their new systems, and then ultimately achieve their unified communications vision. So my strongest recommendation is to decide on what your objectives are, determine where you most need the solution in terms of cost savings, revenue driving opportunities, workflow automation, and so forth. Start there, determine an integration and migration plan that works best to integrate the systems that you have today with the new systems that you're installing, and route ultimately to solving the problems with a comprehensive IP portfolio existent throughout your organization later on. So several step process, beginning with objectives, and then evaluating how best to create this sort of migration plan from where you are today to what your vision is for your communication solution later on.
Yeah, but I think what I'd add to that is understanding that there's a very large installed base of network out there. Understand how that network can really help facilitate some of this. So just kind of running off of Rick's points, corporations are always in the process of trying to grow, trying to plan for that growth. Understanding the network as their platform for that growth is going to be a big piece. Understanding the security elements and how they wrap security around all of this is going to be huge. And really understanding the value of IP and using as much of the value of IP as possible in order to facilitate this growth is going to be huge. What I would say is don't wait. Start now. Don't wait for, you know, all the other vendors in the world to come up with what they're telling you that their products are going to be down the road. There are solutions out there today that will immediately start to drive ROI for your corporation. and that there is no reason to wait for the next 2 years until everybody's got everything set up. So know that Cisco's got a roadmap in place to integrate with any of the third parties that are out there. We've got solutions today to help improve some of this productivity gain that companies are looking for. We've got the security elements that you need in order to wrap around it.
Great. Rick and Roxanne, do you have any final comments?
Well, what I would say is that it is a very exciting new world of communications that is happening right before our eyes. And to think that communications environments existed for decades and decades, and analog to digital was a significant transition. This I think makes that even pale in comparison in terms of the opportunities that we can provide really as an industry to end users to drive aggressive productivity enhancements across organizations. And I believe that from intelligent web and data communications to improved voice communications to a myriad of different devices and applications and solutions to incorporating video in a wide variety of options from very high enterprise solutions all the way down to desktop solutions, we are enabling a set of capabilities for end users that truly can change the way in which we communicate. And it's very exciting to be part of this series of initiatives in this industry at the moment.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to add is that we really need to be thinking about this next generation of workers, of employees. And it's not us. It's our kids. It's your kids. It's my kids. And it's the folks in university. It's the kids in grade school. And we've got to be planning today for the types of capabilities they expect. Some of these folks are in the workplace today, and in order to be competitive, you're going to need to make sure that you've got, you know, true kind of communications capabilities that they're used to working from home. They're used to IM. They're used to being able to work and play in the internet, finding information, making calls, using video. IMing with their friends, SMSing with their friends, using their phones for everything and anything but making phone calls. So, it isn't just about preparing the workforce with productivity tools just for today. We've got those capabilities, but it's really looking beyond that and making sure that we're setting up our networks and we're setting up our business strategies to support that.
Well, we're going to wrap it up now, and I'd like to thank you both very much for these great insights, and we appreciate it, and we'll stay tuned for more information coming out of Cisco. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Blair.